Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team of Prudential Now Realty, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, we're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. And as always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Sorry about that. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for really making this work. John, so, you know, we're at 3 weeks. I know your wife and myself, we've still been doing the diet challenge. I'm finally starting to feel like a normal person again.
Yeah, she's lost between 9 and 10 pounds, so look out.
Oh, yeah.
In 3 weeks?
She's turned into a workout machine.
That wasn't in the script. I wasn't expected to get shot down. I'm behind already, but no. Yeah,
she's a workout warrior and doing very well with it.
Well, good. So
I've learned how not to eat anything in front of her that's not on the diet.
Yeah.
But actually, she's bringing home all this stuff that I look at like, wow, that looks pretty good. Don't eat that. It's mine.
That's exactly how it can work. So we've got, we're back, and as you know this week, you've heard, we are going to be introducing a special guest star here a little bit later in the show. We are going to be talking about appraisals. There's been a lot of press recently the last couple of months about appraisers and what's going on, and, you know, after the market update, you know, definitely wanted to kind of delve into that world a lot, for sure. So
answer some questions, and it's something you hear so much about, but it's one of the most misunderstood aspects of the real estate process.
That's it. That's exactly
myself included,
right.
So I'm going to learn something today.
Sometimes myself included. I'm always curious as an agent. So I won't kill you with statistics this week, but just a quick little market update. I mean, things are really hot right now, especially in our office. We brought on a few new listings this last week, a few bank properties, some amazing new lots and a great new subdivision and some first-time home buyer properties. So you know, it's really interesting. Just a reminder to everybody, you know, how great our market really is. Because of the show, Karen and I had the privilege of co-hosting on San Diego's Real Estate Talk Show last weekend.
All right.
So we were able to fly down there and guest host with the number one agent there. And they talk a lot more about foreclosures and short sales than we do up here. So it was just a great reminder of what a great market we're in, you know, how hot things are here. And so just as a general overview, you know, people are getting ready to put their homes on the market as we come into that season. And it's just we really do have it good here. So this week, as we go into the topic, just reviewing the process a little bit, here's what happens a lot of times with buyers and even sellers out there, is someone will, you know, come into the office like we talk about on the show all the time. They get pre-approved with Scott. We know what they're looking for. Scott puts them in my car. We find them that great property that we think is a great value.
Mm-hmm.
Get it put under contract, and we've talked about this on the show. And then they go then back to Scott to finish up their full loan application, finalize it with the property information, and then Scott sends it off into magic lending world.
Sometimes.
And an appraisal gets ordered. So, but, you know, I know there's a few other steps in there I'm leaving out. So we have Scott Ridgway with Cobalt Mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, tell us what happens prior to that appraisal going out, and then I'll let you introduce our guest because I know you work closely with him. And, yeah, let's get into that topic about what does happen once it leaves the hands and everybody's not sure what they're waiting for.
Fantastic. Well, at Cobalt Mortgage, we've got a pretty streamlined process. And obviously, like you've already spoken about, we want to get them in the car, in your car, as soon as possible, approved with an approval letter so that they know what they can do. Essentially, it's kind of almost turning them into a cash buyer. So once you've gone through the process of identifying a home with them and getting them back to us, then what that allows us to do is start drilling down on some very specific numbers. So the property address, the property purchase price is what helps us to kind of get started with that. Then we can kind of start working through the details of who are we using for title and escrow and get their credit report dialed in. And we've had the the fortunate years, actually, with Thomas Crozier, and he's been able to help us on a lot of our files with the HVCC rules, which is called the Home Valuation Code of Conduct. We actually have a third-party service that we utilize to make sure that nobody is trying to have any kind of an influence on appraisals. That's something that kind of became a problem. Thomas has always done a great job, does a fantastic valuation of market value and all the details that we need, because Thomas's job or any appraiser's job really is to be the watchdog or the guard dog for lenders to make sure that we're loaning money on those properties and that those properties are correctly valued in our marketplace.
That's a great point that I think is missed a lot. Mm-hmm. So, Thomas, welcome to the show. Go ahead, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you. I've been an appraiser for about 7.5 years all through the state of Washington. Have recently started my own company. I was associated with another company prior to that. My new company is Mid-Columbia Valuation. Mm-hmm. Have been doing business with various lenders throughout the Tri-Cities and have had a long-standing relationship with Scott over at Cobalt Mortgage. And basically just trying to make my way through the appraisal world.
Yeah, that's great. I guess real basic here, how does one go about becoming an appraiser? I mean, do you just take that 5-hour course on the infomercial, or what happens?
Yeah, 1-900-APPRAISER.
okay.
No, it's actually fairly complicated. The opening part of it is that you have to find somebody who's willing to train you, because as part of becoming an appraiser, you have to go through a 2-year apprenticeship.
Great.
So
wow.
you have someone who actually goes with you and teaches you appraisals for 2 years. Now the the requirements include a 2-year degree, and that's a recent change in the laws as well.
Yeah, wow. You know, sometimes I think there's...
That's great.
You know, there's some times where I think real estate agents might need to have the 2-year apprenticeship. it's not a bad idea. I mean, I like the way that's going.
Yeah,
so.
Can I ask him a quick question? Because it's something I've always wondered.
I haven't even got to ask him the question I interrupted you about.
Let's not
Okay, do you want to go first or do you want me to go
Go ahead, yeah. I
okay,
guess.
So my question is, what's the difference between an appraiser and a home inspector?
Well, the home inspector is there as almost an advocate for whoever hires him, and they go through the house and they take a look for, you know, hidden deficiencies and things like that. And it's almost like a homeowner's manual for the operation and maintenance of the home, whereas an appraiser really is looking for the value, what you know, a typical buyer, typical seller would exchange for the home, so the price of the home, if you will. And the appraiser's job is more to determine what market impact the house has.
What objects in the home or the layout or what features would make it valuable?
Well, what we look at is more the structure. Mm-hmm. Obviously the old adage in real estate is location, location, location.
Mm-hmm.
We basically do a comparison between what we would call the subject property, the property that's for sale or being refinanced or what have you, with other sales, recent listings, and we look at market trends. So we make a comparison between the subject property and the other sales that are out there. So, you know, in each property is different. I always tell people, you know, the standard appraiser answer to any question is that depends.
Uh-huh.
Because
we use that a lot.
I like that.
Every
wow,
assignment
depends.
Is different. And, uh-huh. You know, I mean, people say, well, what's a pool worth and that kind of thing. And you know, obviously the answer is that depends. And then you have to really, you know, dig into it and figure out where the property is and, you know, how big it is, what style of home it is, depreciation on the house as far as wear and tear, that kind of thing, quality of features, you know, if it's concrete tile roofing or rolled roofing or something like that. I mean, it's all the structural components of the actual physical dwelling and then the value and location of the land and the exterior impact on those things.
So in other words, you would have to know something, almost sounds like you have to almost think like a builder. You have to understand the concepts of construction and what goes into building a house, as well as the market value and all the other stuff.
Yeah, and a lot of that comes from experience with the builders in the area and seeing the properties from built from scratch. and knowing, you know, and furthermore, knowing the reputation of some of the builders to their quality, because when you walk into a finished house, obviously you don't see the stud material,
the
insulation
product
necessarily,
or under the foundation.
That's a great answer. I mean, from a real estate standpoint and knowing the builders that we've had on the show, I love hearing that we're talking to an appraiser that knows the quality of what's gone into that house. I really appreciate that from a real estate standpoint. Now, on the basic level, my original question I interrupted Scott about, and
maybe
then
before you interrupted me,
yeah,
sorry.
Was a key point he was making is that you are there kind of as a protection mechanism for the bank, and I think people lose sight of that sometimes. I mean, who are you delivering that appraisal for? Who's your client?
Well, ultimately, all of the appraisers are independent people. We are hired as a completely independent individual to set market value based on what's going on in the market. Ultimately, now with the new changes, with like Scott mentioned, the HVCC, it places somebody in the middle between the lender and the appraiser. So as that communication is somewhat blunted, there was a lot of concern in the industry that loan officers were applying pressure to appraisers. And, you know, ultimately none of that really mattered to me because it didn't change the way I did my appraisals. It just changed the person that I was speaking to directly.
Right.
In regard to the appraisal. But what happens is if I'm an appraiser and I'm out there and I have my own business, XYZ lender, for instance, Cobalt Mortgage, says, hey, I've got an appraisal. They've got a sale, comes from you, Lance, whatever. And then it goes in, and Scott does his, you know, what you said, magic, and works it out.
Places his order.
And then he sends it off to that corresponding, we call it an appraisal management company, or AMC, and they process that order, and they hand it off to us. And it comes in blank sheet with basically a borrower and a property, and they say, go out there and appraise this property. So we go out, we draw all the data together. We put all that stuff together. We type it out into a report, all the research involved. We have a work file, everything involved in that. And then it's delivered back to that AMC.
Okay.
And then that AMC, of course, delivers it on to the lender.
Okay. Now a question that's come in that came into me via Facebook that somebody wrote in this week, a question to ask the appraiser is – I think they were just confused on the consumer level, is when that order comes into you, do you have a copy of the purchase and sale agreement? Do you already know what that house is sold for or what the agreement has been?
Well, part of the process in doing an appraisal is, of course, analyzing the purchase and sale agreement for concessions and you're investigating it in order to understand if there's something, you know, not typical going on or something that's out of the ordinary.
So that's the purpose of it.
So you analyze that. But beyond that, you're looking at the data from a standpoint of you're looking at the sales and listings. So the other thing you need to know is how much was the property originally listed for. So you look it up on the MLS and actually look at the original listing.
Gotcha.
And what it was originally listed for, any price changes, and how long it was on the market. Because there is, you know, over time as you analyze, the vast number of sales that are in the Tri-Cities area, you come to understand that there is a typical marketing time, and it varies, of course, seasonally and with what's going on in the economy. But it's something that you track as part of it, because if something's been on the market for 3.5 years, you have to question whether or not it was ever listed at market value, or if that's typical. You know, if it's a $3 million home in this area, maybe it's typical for a property to sit on the market for 3.5 years to find just the right buyer.
Right. So I mean, that's great. And then there was. There was another question that somebody had written in about, and that was, generally, how far away from a house can you go to get comparables? Like, if you're in Meadow Springs, are you going 2 miles away into West Kennewick, or kind of, is there a general set of criteria, or does it always changing? How does that work as far as distance that you're using comparables now?
Insert standard appraiser answer 1. That depends. Ultimately, Fannie Mae, FHA, Freddie Mac, all those companies that are out there setting the guidelines for appraisals have specific requirements. However, they also understand that every assignment is different. Typically, when you would look at a property, for instance, in North Pasco, where there's a lot of new construction, a lot of similar builders, that kind of thing, you would expect to be able to stay within 1 mile or less.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's different in our market because there is a lot of available land, and being within, say, a half mile is unreasonable because of the actual lot size in this area.
Okay.
So the guideline is in an urban environment, generally is a half mile to a mile, and in a suburban marketplace, up to 3 miles. But again, that's based on their definitions of what is typical. And again, we look at this area as basically a suburban marketplace.
Okay.
And so, again, you know, back to appraiser answer number one, it all kind of depends on the property. But typically,
nice.
you would look at properties that are of similar influence. In other words, you said Meadow Springs.
Right.
If you're in Meadow Springs and you've only got 5 sales in the last year, if it's on the golf course, then you need to say, okay, what golf courses are similar to Meadow Springs?
That you could pull from if you had to.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Right. And what influences and what, you know, and you can determine that because the influence of the golf course is on the land, not necessarily the dwelling.
Right.
So if you could make comparative land sales, you could determine whether or not a lot in Meadow Springs on the golf course is similar to a lot on, say, Horn Rapids Golf Course or even Canyon Lakes Golf Course.
Mm-hmm.
And that would determine whether or not those properties were equal in value.
I like that. I also like this topic because here we are bumping up against our break at the end of the first segment. I tell you what I'm going to do, Scott. I am going to let you open when we come back after the break, and I'm not going to interrupt you. So I might not even get to talk
the next segment.
So.
Cobalt Mortgage, we've got lots of questions.
So once again, you've been listening to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, more of your appraisal questions answered with Thomas Crozier here today. We appreciate him coming in. And we will talk to you after the break.
On News Talk 870 KFLD. Back on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update on News Talk 870 KFLD. And, of course, I believe we're going to be starting things off with Cobalt Mortgage on this segment. You've got some things to talk about, sir, Mr. Ridgeway.
Yes,
as promised. Lance is just going to turn it over to Scott and let him do his thing.
Yeah, just do your thing.
No interrupting. I'm shutting up.
Well, hey, you know, I want to let you guys know that rates are still spectacular out there. Cobalt Mortgage has got some fantastic interest rates, so go ahead and give me a call. 737-6004. Everything you'd expect from your experienced local lender. I wanted to give everybody a little bit of give you guys some updates on what's going on. The GDP came out this last week, and it was a little bit higher than expected. It represented the best GDP reading since the third quarter of 2003, which is good.
Gross domestic product. The value of goods and services produced. It's kind of like the value of the economy. Yeah.
Yes, and those can actually be owned. Those companies can be owned by foreign countries, but as long as those products are produced in the United States, they are still part of that number.
So it's
I can't help it.
The health of the economy.
I can't help being quiet that long. I just have to say that I'm impressed with Mr. McKay.
Mr. McKay is all over.
He's not just a radio talk show host.
Econ 101 in college. So.
Nice. So here's a question. So where did the increase in GDP come from? And this is a misnomer. A rebuilding of inventories from businesses who had drawn down these levels as the economy slowed. So that's one of the things that really causes that. As these businesses restock their shelves, GDP increases, although actual sales have not. Not to gloom and doom things out there, but you really need to watch what's going on in the economy. Right now is a fantastic time to be becoming a new homeowner or moving up into a home because interest rates are still holding down, and they are anticipated to hold down here for a while. Cyclically, usually December through February, we see really, really great interest rates. The idea there is to keep them low so they can keep the housing market going through the winter. It's fantastic. As spring approaches, then things start heating up in the markets a little bit, and some of those entities start bulking prices up a little bit. Demand is increased, so that's where you may see the rates start to tick up a little bit. So I have to remind people about these deadlines that are coming up. Contract by April, close by the end of June to take advantage of the tax credits and to take advantage of these low interest rates.
It's kind of like the best time of the year to buy a wood pellet stove is in the middle of summer because the demand is not there. That's kind of how That translates.
Or a boat in the winter.
Exactly.
Yeah. They want to keep, traditionally, people tend not to buy as many homes in the winter, and so they want to keep the market up. Now, of course, we know that's not the case here in Tri-Cities because it's
It hasn't been this year. I mean, you
it's
look
been
back.
Smoking.
Yeah, you look back
kind
in
of
years
that's
past.
That's kind of the thinking.
And that's
nationally.
That island we live on called Tri-Cities.
Right now, that is definitely the case, for sure.
So the Federal Reserve purchased $12 billion in mortgage-backed securities this last week, and that brings it to a total of $1.16 trillion. Out of the $1.25 trillion allotted. So they're getting kind of towards the tail end of that. And it's supposed to be, and actually they talked about this on Wednesday night, that March 31st, that's going to be ending. So if you guys watch the State of the Union address or you want to go back and rewind that, check it out. Another thing that I wanted to bring up, Lance, I had a question. I have a question.
Yeah, I love it.
And
let's hear it.
It has to do with stuff that we end up, I get phone calls, and it's just kind of an interesting occurrence is when an appraisal is ordered and then it comes in and then an agent that maybe wrote up a contract maybe preliminarily did what's called, I believe, a CMA, a current market analysis.
Correct.
And there's a difference in those numbers sometimes. I don't know if it's optimism or pessimism or maybe economic pieces of information that are interpreted differently.
Well, yeah.
What do you do when you do a CMA, and with Thomas here, Thomas could kind of maybe tell us how that all works. I don't know.
Well, no, I think that's a great question. I'm glad Thomas is here because, you know, it's a tough situation because usually it's coming in on the low side. That's when everybody gets their hackles up about it.
The appraisal?
The appraisal is lower. You know,
nobody ever complains about an appraisal that comes in too
people
high.
Complain and they go, well, right. I thought my house was worth more than this. That's
so,
basically how
I guess
consumer would understand it.
Well,
yeah.
Realtors are on the line, and then Mid-Columbia Valuations, Thomas's company, is kind of on the line too. So where's that separation? How's that work?
No, that's good, and I'm glad Thomas is here and we can talk about that. So, you know, I mean, when we do a market evaluation, I mean, we, you know, we like to think that at the beginning, I mean, what we're doing is, you know, is when I'm approaching a property is I am like he is, I think, in some instances, and he can tell me the difference is, you know, we are looking for comparable properties. You know, we are looking for sold comparable properties that I think support a value for the current property we're looking at. However, there's some other issues that come into play there, and that's a question I had for Thomas is, what is one of the biggest mistakes, you know, that you see, you know, agents make in this place or in this time frame, or what happens when you do have to come in $20,000 or $15,000 low on an appraisal? What do you usually see as the difference that maybe we could work on or avoid from happening?
What causes that?
Well, ultimately, I don't think, you know, you ever really know that you're coming in low or whatever. I don't think that's ever a consideration for the appraiser, but ultimately, and I wouldn't even call it a mistake on the realtor's part, because basically what we're talking about is your job isn't to find value. Your job is to find the price. And maybe that's semantics and maybe that's a little different, but as I understand your job from taking my classes with the MLS, your job is to be an advocate for the buyer or seller. Your job is to look out for their best interests. And of course, if you're selling a home, that seller wants top dollar. They want as much as they can get from them, because that's why you sell the home is to get, you know, to get out of it and make your money and move on.
It's like selling a car.
We say that all the time as one of my core philosophies is to maximize value for the seller. You're exactly right.
And as an appraiser, you're not an advocate really for anyone. You're not, you know, out there looking out for necessarily, you know, Cobalt Mortgage or Lance or anybody like that. You're out there trying to find market value regardless of influence. You're not influenced by anybody. You're not an advocate for anybody. So you're just looking at the raw data, trying to come up with a number that's supported by what's going on in the marketplace. And sometimes those market trends and whatnot are not necessarily in line with what you come up with from a CMA, because, like I said, you're trying to set the price to ultimately get the sale to close. And my job is again, different as not being an advocate. It's just to find market value.
Okay. The real market now, is close to the real market value of the home.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily, you know, I mean, I don't run into it all that often. With the new changes, you don't really hear about it anyway. But ultimately, most of the realtors in the area that I deal with pretty much know what they're doing. I mean, they understand that if you price a property improperly, it's not going to sell.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So it's usually not that wide a gap. But there are times where it is, and again, that comes from, you know, maybe an optimistic viewpoint from the realtor sense, and again, because they're being an advocate mm-hmm. for their client. And yeah. if they're looking at it and they're like, well, I really need to do this for this client. They've got these circumstances, those circumstances, and I really need to help them out here. So let's price it like this. They bring in a buyer and all that works out great. I go out there and I say, okay, I don't know any of that because I'm not an advocate for any of those people. I'm mm-hmm. not, you know, I'm not supposed to be influenced by that. And generally I'm not, you know, we go in there with our earplugs in and all that stuff
uh-huh.
and ultimately go in there and just, you know, look at the actual market data and interpret it based on our experience and the guidelines provided for us by Fannie Mae, Freddie. And
I can imagine, I mean, I kind of know why they do the separation with the third party company but, yeah, I imagine at some times in your career you've taken some heat for those stances, probably whether you wanted to or not.
And that's a lot why that HVCC was put in place, is because there were mm-hmm. some bad lenders out there mm-hmm. that were browbeating appraisers for the appraisers doing their job, but the lenders maybe not feeling like it was the number they needed to put a deal together.
You guys have talked earlier about the local marketplace being kind of on an island, and you know, I'll just give you my spin on that, and I think this speaks volumes to the people that do business in the Tri-Cities. Is, you know, over the past year, in past 5 years, even though we've had remarkable growth in the number of sales, the average annual increase has stayed fairly repetitive. It's kind of done the same thing every mm-hmm. year in and year out,
right.
regardless of the volume of sales.
Right.
It you know, slowly inches up, just like you would expect it to do. In other markets, you saw giant leaps in values. Correspondingly, mm-hmm. when all this went down, they crashed back down to earth. And I think that speaks volumes to the people who do business in the Tri-Cities, the Cobalt Mortgages, Lance over here, who understand that you can't just manufacture those numbers. And including all the other appraisers in the Tri-Cities, you know, they're not just out there slapping numbers on things trying to chase the market. They're actually analyzing the data
mm-hmm.
And really making sense of what's going on. And like I said, you see slow, steady growth in the Tri-Cities regardless of the number of sales.
Yeah,
and to me, that would also indicate that there's a need to make sure that whether it's Lance or whoever you're dealing with, that you're dealing with a real estate agent that understands at least somewhat what's going on the appraisal level. So when they go out, they're not going to overinflate the price and boost up the hopes of the person and say, oh, I can get you X for this house.
You're exactly right.
If they had experience, they knew. If they had experience and knew the market and knew how the appraisal system works, they'd say, well, actually, we'll get you this much, but the appraisal is going to come in a lot closer, and then the client doesn't turn around and find that their house is $25,000 less than what they thought.
Well, it's
you
a
have
concern.
To know what you're
I mean,
doing.
Yeah, in today's information world, too, people are going to know. I mean, it's not just so much. I mean, yeah, I mean, if I'm in a, you know, if I'm in a 3-bedroom, 2-bath neighborhood and they've all sold for $130,000, you know, and I go on the appointment and I tell the client, you know, I've got comps supporting $130,000 and they're just adamant about $145,000. You know, I mean, it's my job at that appointment right then and there to tell them, you know, I'm sorry, but the comps are not there. Even if you could, you know, I mean, even if you could find somebody to pay that for it, unless they're just absolutely in love with the location and mm-hmm. the gold-plated sinks and they want to pay cash, you know, it's not going to sell. And in fact, on that very same subject line, a question we get a lot is, you know, people are asking right now, there's so many, you know, FHA loans going on and that type of stuff coming out. What are some of the basic differences in an FHA appraisal that people are looking for versus a conventional appraisal?
Well, ultimately, with the FHA appraisal, they have some very specific property standards, and the book itself is some 100 and some odd pages long.
Oh, well, we don't have time for that.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it depends.
So we're back to standard appraiser answer number one. That depends on the property.
Okay.
The best advice I can give you, regardless of FHA or Fannie Mae, is the first and foremost, when you're putting your house up for sale, make sure everything works, make sure everything is well-maintained and appears to be recently, you know, updated. You know, make sure your house doesn't have the peeling paint and the chipping, you know, and the wear and tear on the outside of it.
Broken, cracked sidewalks, steps.
Make sure your furnace is working properly, or you know, whatever your heating system may be.
There's not crawl a bunch of missing tiles on
crawl
the roof.
Crawl space is clear. You know, roofing material. Make sure your windows, you know, can close
basic
all the
stuff.
Way and actually open as well. So
that leads me to one more question. When I am taking a loan application, and I have got the husband and wife there, and I let them know, okay, the next step is that we need to get your appraisal ordered so that we can have a fair valuation of where your house is in the marketplace. And I say, you know, you will be visited by an appraiser that will come take a look at your house. And one of them says, oh, my gosh, I've got to go clean my garage out. I've got to go clean my house out. I've got laundry that I've got to pick up. How much of that makes a difference from a valuation standpoint, because they freak out, and I tell them, "Don't worry about it. Your appraiser's going to look past that. They're looking at the square footages and so on." Could you kind of elaborate on that?
I think exactly what you said is true. You know, obviously it's important to the homeowner, and so, you know, should they go home and clean their home? Well, if they ask you if they should, then yes, they should go home and clean.
It probably needs to be cleaned.
It'll make them feel better for no other reason. Just say yes, go home and clean your home.
It can't hurt.
Does it matter to what I do? No, it doesn't matter at all. I mean, ultimately, you go into the house, and like I said, you're looking to make sure that, you know, is the furnace working? Do the toilets flush? Does the water go down the drain? Does hot water come out when you turn on the hot water tap?
Does the bathroom floor sag 3 inches when you walk on it?
Usually that puts a pretty quick end to the whole thing. But but ultimately, I mean, should they do it? Yes, it'll make them feel better. Will it make a difference to what I do? Not necessarily. You know, make sure, like I said, back to where we were at. Make sure everything's working. Make sure everything's in good repair. You know, if you want to clean your house,
yeah, to kind of put it in layman's terms, if you're going to sell your car and it's a used car, you're going to want to make sure that everything works.
Yeah.
It's common sense. Well, the same can be applied directly to your house. The better shape it's in, the more things work, the higher the value. You know, it's, you know, you give somebody a half-eaten candy bar, and it's not going to be worth as a brand new one in the wrapper. It's kind of common sense, really.
Yeah.
If you're going to put your, and this is something that we've talked about a lot before.
A fresh
before,
coat of paint goes a long way.
When we mentioned curb appeal, you don't just throw your house on the market if it looks like, you know, the Beverly Hillbillies. You've got to make sure that it's something that's going to sell.
That's exactly right.
It's a little bit of common sense
and,
on the seller or buyer's part.
And last question before we go here. I know, Thomas, a lot of times people, for various reasons, whether it's an estate sale or a nephew's buying a house from an uncle or a grandparents, a lot of times people will need appraisals outside of the lending world. You know, they'll just need to get it done for other reasons. Or how can they, if that is something you do, in fact, how can people contact you in those instances to get a good appraiser like yourself? How can they contact you to get that done?
Well, ultimately, you can just give me a call on my cell phone.
Okay, great.
And that's 554-2761.
Okay.
And, yes, I do private party appraisals for that exact purpose.
Okay, great.
554-2761. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we are bumping up on our time frame this year. We've had just a fabulous show. We probably could have gone another hour, but but it's just not in the cards. So, I'm going to shorten the pick three to pick one this week for time reasons here.
He was bouncing up and down.
We'll knock it out here. I'm just going to go with this as the number one pick. Anybody that's looking to build a bigger custom home and has been looking for irrigated acreage in Badger Canyon, we have it. We just listed a fabulous new subdivision. In fact, in a couple weeks, I'm going to devote one of my shows, at least a 10-minute segment out there, to the subdivision. But as my number one pick this week to get out there, I have a 27-acre home site buildable lot that has irrigation water in an amazing area of homes, and we've priced this 27-acre lot at $225,000. You're just not going to find that in Badger Canyon. So if you want that tree-lined driveway and you're going to build your custom home in the next 5 or 6 years, let's find the land for you now and get you out there to take a look at it. So once again, we'd like to thank our lender, Scott Ridgway from Cobalt Mortgage. Scott, how can people get a hold of you to refinance or take advantage of those tax credits in the next couple months?
Well, thank you. It's Scott Ridgway at Cobalt Mortgage, 737-6004.
And once again, Thomas, I know you're new to the show. Thank you for delving into the appraisal world and answering at least a third of our questions. We might have to have you back, and I did, you know, and we might have you back, but it depends.
That's refer to number one.
Exactly.
With Mid-Columbia evaluation, right?
You betcha.
Mid-Columbia evaluation.
Thanks for coming on, and we will see you guys next week.
Thank you, Lance.
Right here at 9 a.m. on News Talk 870 with the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update.